You will join with me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to your sight. Amen. Living hopefully. Living hopefully. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and as Hugh had shared, Advent has crept up on us so quickly. What exactly is Advent? It's actually quite simple. It simply means arrival. It simply means coming. And today, Advent has come. It has arrived. And we start on this four-week journey of hearing the Word of God on different themes. And today, the theme for Advent is hope. 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 What is hope? What is hope? I don't know. So I looked up the dictionary. I went into Google and I said, define, colon, hope. And in fact, it gives you a pretty good definition. It means looking forward to something. It means looking forward to something. And I was thinking, what could be a good illustration of hope? And I saw an image online. If you could show the next slide. I wonder if that's hope. Now, most of you probably know that I come from south of the border. And normally, the first Sunday of Advent is usually the first Sunday after Black Friday. And I don't know if you've ever been Black Friday shopping, but it's like that. In fact, I was looking at the news yesterday, looking at all the images of Black Friday, and of course, I saw a picture of a Nike store where the whole store, basically all the boxes of shoes, had come to the floor because they couldn't manage with all these hopeful people living hopefully of possibly getting a good deal on a Nike pair of Nike sneakers. Now, is that what hope is? Maybe. But I also have another image of hope. Hope that I was going to move into a great neighborhood. And in fact, I did. Those of you probably who will read the newsletter today will realize that I have moved into Humbertown, a great part of the city, and of course, a 5-minute commute to church. And it's great. I had hope for my parents' arrival. And it was good hope, because they will be bringing a lot of goodies with them, as parents and usually grandparents do. And with hope, I wait with hope. What do? I get the house ready. We moved in, and my parents were to arrive exactly 7 days later. So just imagine how much hope we had in trying to get the house ready for my parents. We were scrubbing. We were working tirelessly. In fact, I asked for a vacation. It wasn't really a vacation, but we were sweeping. We were trying to get everything ready. And for those of you who have assembled a lot of IKEA furniture, it makes your house very dusty. So we had to open the windows and clean. But all of this we were doing in hope. The hope that my parents would come, and they would come with great tidings and great gifts. But so many times in this world that we live in, hope turns into despair. Hope turns into despair. We don't have to look very far. I showed you a picture of Black Friday lines, and you know what? They were probably selling 3 TVs. That were going to be a deal. They were maybe selling 10 stereos that were a deal. And so for all these people who were waiting outside, their hope probably turns into despair. In fact, all Maple Leaf fans know this. Hope turns into, well, I don't want to cheat us yet. I wonder if that's how the disciples were feeling. Jesus tells them, I don't know. I don't know. That's not something we hear a lot from Jesus. I don't know. See, Jesus is the person that knew everything. Jesus was the person that had the answer to everybody. Jesus had the answers to the Pharisees' hardest questions. Yet here we find Jesus saying, I don't know. I don't know. So many times hope turns into despair. Hope turns into I don't know. There is no room for hope. See, they had thought that Jesus had the answer for everything, but here he is, Jesus saying, I don't know. In fact, no one knows. The angels do not know, nor the Son, only the Father. In fact, Jesus gives four little snippets, four little stories of I don't knows. People during Noah's time who did not know when the flood was going to take place, they did not know. Two workers on the field, one was taken, one was not. Who was taken? They don't know. Why were they taken? They don't know. Two women grinding their meal together out in the field, one was taken, one was not. Why? I don't know. Was it person A? Was it person B? Do we know? We don't know. A burglar coming into the house. Do we know what time they're coming? We don't know. Isn't it strange that on this week, when we celebrate hope, the answer Jesus gives to us is, I don't know. We don't know. Where is the hope when we do not know? How can we live hopefully when we do not know? Isn't this closer to despair? Now, when Christmas comes around, there's a movie that I always watch, and it's Home Alone. Yes, we're of that generation. You see, if we had told this to these kids, they'd be like, what are you talking about? Home Alone. Little Kevin, he stays home when his parents are flying off to Paris. Now, if I had a house that big, I actually wouldn't mind if my parents flew off to Paris. But that's another story. But he's out there. He's sitting in front of the window, and he hears about these two thieves, and they say they will come at 9 p.m. So what does little Kevin do? Little Kevin goes around. He prepares. He prepares booby traps, and he prepares things that actually are pretty mean. If you think about it. But he does. Because he knew when the burglar was coming. But to us, we don't. If we knew exactly when the burglar was coming to our house, we'd probably be ready too. But we don't. So we pay lots of money to set up nice security systems, just in case, so that we won't fall into total despair. But what does all of have to do with our message today, a message of hope? Because the message today is not a message of despair. Because the message today is not about knowing what happens or knowing when it happens. But the message today is quite simple, is that the Son of Man is coming. It's not that the Son of Man may be coming. It's not that the Son of Man might be coming, but the Son of Man is coming. Jesus is coming. You see, for the Israelites, before Jesus, they had all been waiting for Messiah because they knew that deep in their hearts, they believed in the good news that the Messiah is coming. that the Messiah, it's not that the Messiah might come, it's not that the Messiah may come, but that the Messiah is coming. And we, in Advent, we also join with them in waiting for that Messiah who is coming. 3, 4, 5,000 years of Israelite history, they were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah who will save them from the Egyptians, from the Assyrians, from the Babylonians, and during Jesus' time, from the Romans. They were waiting in hope, not in despair. They were waiting in hope because they knew that one day that the Messiah will come. Little did they know the Messiah was sitting right there next to them. But what does that message have to do with us when we already know Jesus has come? In fact, we celebrate it every year. And I think that's what's so poignant about this passage today. Jesus is coming. Here Jesus is saying to his disciples that the Son of Man is coming. He's talking about how Jesus is coming again. See in front of me the communion set, and we sing, Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. It is that hope that we live in during this Advent season. You see, we live in a world that needs hope. We live in a world that needs restoration. We live in a world that needs love to overcome hate. Well, what we're saying is we are waiting, we are adventing for the Son of Man to return. Last week, we joined together as community during baptism service in sharing our faith through the Apostles' Creed. And it speaks of how Jesus will come back to judge the living and the dead. What this in fact means, and if you went through baptism class, you will know, is not that Jesus will come sitting on a throne to say, you're in. You're out. But what Jesus is coming to do is restore peace, restore shalom, to restore love, to turn hatred into love, to turn despair into hope. When we live in this hope, then there is a reason for living hopefully. See, in fact, then it becomes a matter of, then how do we live to celebrate this hope? And it's actually quite easy. We just go ahead and do our mundane things. If you read the next few verses that we have from this passage, we see of how Jesus commending a servant for cooking a meal. There was nothing special he did. He just cooked a meal. Now, how do we live hopefully? We do all the things that we do in hope. So, when we take out a friend for coffee, we do that in hope, in love, in restoring relationships. When we work 70 hours in Bay Street, when everything feels like despair, we do it in hope. Because there is a reason behind doing it. Not only to pay for the mortgage, but as we prepare for the second coming of Jesus. When we partake in our stewardship campaign, we do it in hope. There's a little video that I want to show you. It comes from the United Church. This week is not only Advent 1, but it's also Stewardship 4. It's the fourth week of stewardship. We try to do things and say, we're doing something special for stewardship, and quite honestly, year after year, it seems like we're just going through the motion again. But I wonder, as we go through week 4 of stewardship, we can do it in a spirit of hope. And I think these guys are doing it in a spirit of hope. Let me watch this video.
For many of Haiti's poorest farmers, this is where they can find land to grow their crops. And it's always a long trek back and forth. The Carl Levesque Cultural Institute, known as ICKL, is a partner of the United Church of Canada. It supports these small farmers, helping them organize into groups to advocate for better roads, schools, and access to markets. But its broader goal is social transformation, supporting people to improve their lives economically and politically. In one community, farmers share the operation of a mill. Ground corn sells for more money than the raw kernels. In another isolated community, farmers and the Institute are about to open a bakery, saving people a 5-hour walk for bread. It will also generate money for the community. There is also technical assistance. A pump to bring water from the river to the crops, tools, and new methods of planting that will increase yields. ICKL believes that transforming lives means people can transform their society into one where everyone has the basics of life, food, education, and the hope of a good future. Your donations to the mission and service of the United Church of Canada support ICKL's work for change. Thank you, and please continue to give.
What they do here may seem the logical thing to do. Of course, we should help people. But if we do that in a spirit of hope, spirit of love, that it is not only a few toonies that we put in to help people make a living, but it is us saying that as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to share that love. We want to share that hope. I think that is living stewardship, hopefully. And I think, most of all, as we partake in this meal together, not only through communion, but in a cup of chili, that we do that in a spirit of hope. Let us pray. God, so many times we live in a world where we think of despair. Because it's really hard to wait on hope. But we don't wait on hope. We act in hope. So I pray that as a community of faith here at Kingsway Lambton, that we can truly live hopefully. We ask of this in Jesus' name.